Greetings, Lisa Edwards here, CEO of Exclusive Career Coaching and host of the Exclusive Career Coach Podcast. Ready for some great career management content? Then let's dig in. Hi guys, how's it going? Hey, we're going to be talking about what is going on with those companies that offer free resume reviews today. And in the course of this, I'm going to be talking about the consult and the role of the consult, not just with me, but with anybody that you're talking to. So I do want to give a shout out for those of you that don't know about my free complimentary consult. This is specifically for folks who are considering at least making a purchase around a resume writer or a career coach. So to be clear, this is not a free coaching session. I give away this free content every week on the podcast, and those of you that are on my mailing list get additional free content on Wednesdays and Fridays. So, you know, I'm giving away a lot of free stuff. There's a whole bunch of freebies on my website. So for those of you who want to take this to the next level and work one-on-one, you can schedule that consult. The link is in the show notes. And that's a 45-minute session where I ask you a lot of questions about what's going on with your job search or employment, whatever the situation is that you need help with. And then at that point, I prescribe for you what will help with your problem and talk to you about what the investment would be. So if you're interested in that, again, the link is in the show notes. This is a quote that I'm going to give you in a minute that I heard many years ago. I don't know who to attribute it to, but it's been, I think, very useful for me as I've thought about it over the years. And this is the quote. The only way to get something for nothing is if someone somewhere is getting nothing for something. You know, it's kind of that concept of there's no such thing as a free lunch. I think it's very applicable for what we're going to be talking today about. And over the years, a number of people have come to me with concerns about their resume because they put it through a quote-unquote free resume review program. So they sent it in and they got back, in most cases, a very scathing negative review about their resume. And in some cases, those were resumes that I wrote them. I promise you, if I put my own resume through, my resume is probably not the best example. It's like the Shoemaker's Kids. My resume is not all that up to date. But I could take one of the resumes from one of my clients that I have literally submitted for awards and for recognition and have won, and they would still say that it's terrible. And I think it's really important for you to understand what's going on there. So this is typically what you see with larger, what I'm going to call a resume mill, right? So this is one where if you dig a little bit deeper, whether it's on the website or, you know, you might have to look around a little bit, but what you'll see is that they have a staff of resume writers who are doing the actual work, as opposed to my setup where I'm doing all the resume writing, or another colleague who, and I have from time to time hired an assistant resume writer. But that's very different from an organization that has 10, 20 resume writers. And I can tell you from experience, when I was younger in my career, I was one of those staff resume writers for a couple of big organizations, and the pay was pretty low. And so I think it's a fair, you can extrapolate out of that, that that's not something that a resume writer would want to stay in once they got their chops and once they got some clients of their own because of the pay, right? So you may be dealing with a really qualified person at the front end, but the person who would actually write your resume is maybe a very junior, you know, not credentialed or just got a credential. But what's happening there is they have a system. They've either purchased a system or they've created a system that automatically critiques your resume. So it's you know, feed it in there and the computer tells you all the horrible things about your resume. And then after that, you're going to get a hard sell to buy a resume package from them. Again, no such thing as a free lunch. They're not doing this out of the goodness of their heart so that you can run along and hire somebody like me. They want you to stay there. They want to, you know, create fear and concern, and then they want you to buy their product. So they hook you in with that free part, right? After all, what's the harm, right? Let's have them take a look at my resume, but I promise you there will be a hard sell. Now, a second scenario is where an actual human is looking at your resume. So there is someone who is actually legitimately evaluating it. And what usually happens in these cases is that they charge some amount of money, maybe something like $75, $50, something like that. And then if you purchase from them, so they tell you, you know, good and bad about your resume, hopefully authentically and honestly, and then you make a decision. And if you choose to move forward with them, they would credit that amount. So you're not out the $50 or $75. You just have it applied towards the purchase that you buy. Now, in this scenario, your questions should be, who's doing the critique? You know, what is his or her qualification to do so? And would this person also be the one writing the resume for me? Should I purchase a package? So again, if this is in a larger organization, even if it's a few writers, you want to be very clear on who's actually critiquing my resume, who would be writing it, what are their qualifications. I may have shared with you in the past that for a very brief time, a very brief and unfortunate time in my business history, I had hired a woman, and I think she was on her first, maybe second project with me. And the wife had worked with me in the past, and I had written her resume. So she was really thrilled. And her husband was having a resume done by this person that I had working for me. And they came to me with concerns about the quality of the resume. And when I looked at that resume, I found, I believe it was like 26 errors on page one. I'm just really bad. So of course I took over that project and terminated the relationship with that writer. But that resume writer showed up, I don't know, a year or two later as the person evaluating resumes for one of the accrediting body for resume writers, not the one I have, but another one. She was evaluating resume writers' resumes to see if they were good enough to get that credential, and I had had to fire her. So buyer beware, I guess, is the message there. I'm not sure. A third and final scenario is how I have my business structured. And I know many folks who work this way. So you have this consult scheduled, no charge. I take a cursory look at your resume. So I'm not going to go in deep. I'm not going to annotate and, you know, I give you notes on, you know, change this, change that. I'm looking at it at a very 40,000 foot level, and I'm going to be talking about what I see with those resumes over and over and over again at the end of this. And during the consult, I'm going to let you know the three or four things that jumped out at me as issues with your existing resume. And I almost always find the same exact problems with everybody's resume. So that's what I'm going to be giving you at the end. I can critique a resume without looking at it. And to some degree, it's true because I know what I'm going to be getting in after reviewing thousands of resumes in my career. I very rarely do I see anything on a resume that is new and different. So what am I saying here? I think you may not need to spend money on a resume critique, and definitely don't subject yourself to a quote unquote free resume review that ends up with a really hard sell. Of course, I'm biased to the model that I use because it's the one I've chosen to use. But I think for most of you, you know whether your resume is pretty good, really excellent, because I wrote it. It's terrible. And you know this because either it's not getting you the results that you want, right? You're sending it out, and nobody's reaching out to you. Or perhaps you've gotten feedback from someone who knows what I'm talking about is a recruiter, a hiring manager. Maybe you have someone in your family who's in human resources and looks at resumes day in and day out and evaluates them. These are the kind of people who have some knowledge to say, hey, you know, you've got some issues, or this is a really good resume, and here's why. So you've either gotten some feedback, or your resume just isn't getting you any results. And in that case, you know, act accordingly. So if you want to have a professional resume writer, write your resume, choose wisely. I certainly wouldn't want you to choose based on who's offering me that $75 or $50 review that then is credited. I wouldn't want that to be the primary driver in your decision making, because again, you're limiting your pool of who does it that way, right? I've got a link in the show notes on for the document, How to Assess Resume Writers. This is something that lives both on my website and it lives on my LinkedIn profile. So if you want to find it there, you can. It's called How to Assess Resume Writers. But I've also put the link in the show notes. And this gives you some things on questions to ask, what to look for, such as on their website, on their LinkedIn profile, how much you should expect to pay based on the income you're expecting, the salary. And if you want to do that, you've got the link in the show notes for my calendar as well. If you go with someone else, use that How to Assess Resume Writers document to help you both figure out who should I reach out to. You know, if you want to do maybe three consults, do it. I wouldn't do five or six because I think you're just muddying the water. And what that tells me is that maybe you didn't do enough research before signing up for consults to limit your pool. So find yourself maybe three and reach out to them if you want to go with multiples. Most of the people that reach out to me don't do that, but I welcome them to do it because I'm confident that if they want the best, they're going to come back to me. And if they don't or don't need the best, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, then I'm not the good fit for them, and I can, you know, wish them well and help them on their way. So what are these common problems that I've talked about that I see with resumes? Number one is branding. So we've got maybe two possible problems here. Number one is there is no attempt to position you as a unique product that employers would be excited to purchase. Or the attempt at branding is non-differentiating. So with the first one, what I'm seeing is nothing. I actually saw a resume yesterday that still had an objective on it. And I was like, I'm sorry, but this went out about 1990. He was shocked with this information. It was new. I hate to be the one to tell him, but I did. So they don't have anything at the top. Now, what does that do for you? It doesn't get the recruiter in the right frame of mind about what he or she is about to read about you. They don't have a framework for you, you know? So if we think about, you know, Nike shoes, if I know that I'm going to be reading about Nike shoes and I know they're Nike shoes, I've got a certain thought in my mind about Nikes, what I think about Nikes and how great they are. But if I'm just reading about tennis shoes and I'm trying to figure out which one will work for me, but all I'm reading about is, you know, the size of the sole and the fabrication and the shoelaces, I don't have that frame of reference. Oh, we're talking about Nikes. We're talking about New Balances. We're talking about Hokas, or my favorite is Brooks. So that branding really positions you as someone, as a product that they may be interested in buying. So then the other situation is the branding is non-differentiating. So what I mean by that is, if you have branding on your resume, step back and look at it. And is it just the baseline requirements for anyone to have to apply for that job? Because if that's the case, you have not branded yourself. You've simply said, I meet the minimum qualifications. The branding has to be, what is it about me that you're not going to see in any of your other candidates? So that's number one is branding. Number two is death by bullets. So what you've done in your resume is created a laundry list of job duties with each one of them bulleted. And I have seen bullets take up more than one entire page. Just it's death by bullets. That's what we call it in our industry. What you want is a 2 to 3 line paragraph that tells them what you did on a day-to-day basis, followed by achievements, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. And you want this paragraph to very succinctly tell the prospective employer what you did day in and day out. And I talked about that on a recent resume episode, so I'm not going to beat that dead horse. But if you have more than, number one, if you have more than 5 or 6 bullets, and number two, if any of those bullets are talking about what you were hired to do day in and day out, we've got a problem. And that's what I see. As far as achievements, I see one of two scenarios on resumes. Either there isn't an achievement in sight. There is nothing. It's all job duties, which tells an employer that you did a job. You were getting paid and you did a job, but it doesn't tell the employer how well you did the job. The other scenario is the achievements are mixed in with the job duties, so everything's bulleted. You know, we've got job duty, achievement, job duty, job duty, job duty, achievement. And they are weekly written. They don't, of course, they're not going to jump out as much because they're mixed in, they're diluted, but also they're weekly written, which further minimizes their impact. So achievements. And then the next one, the final one, is ATS repellent. So many resumes I see are incapable of getting you a high enough score to be seen or seriously considered by a recruiter, by the humans. So between you and the humans is a computer system, a platform, and it's called an applicant tracking system. And they work in a couple of different ways. So whether this is a system that only shows the humans on the other end, here are the people who score a certain score, you know, have a certain level of qualification. Here they are. You don't even see the other ones unless you like dig around. And the other scenario is that they rank everybody. So you see all the resumes. But honestly, if you've got a pile of 150 resumes, are you really going to look at the 140th resume? Probably not. So what do I see specifically? Headings that are non-traditional, you have to use education for your education. Experience needs to be in your, you know, I call it professional experience with my resumes, but the word experience has to be there. The applicant tracking system cannot understand when you've said, you know, your heading is what I've done, where I went to school. I've seen some really wonky things and it's an attempt to be cute. I see it especially with folks who are artsy, and that's fantastic, except it's just not going to make it through the ATS. Another thing I see is that you try to submit it as a PDF. Some ATS can read PDFs. My recommendation is always to upload the Word version that I give you of your resume. The system will convert that to a text file. So if you want to know what your resume is going to look like and if it's going to make it through an ATS, save the resume. So save it as a Word file, but also save it as a text file. And if anything is missing or wonky, then you want to look at how to fix that. So when you submit it as a PDF, you run the risk that it's not going to score it at all because it cannot convert it to a text file. My recommendation is that in addition to uploading your Word version, you attach a PDF of the same resume, except now the humans will get to see what I call the pretty version of your resume, because a text document is not pretty. So in many HR folks still want to see the pretty version, and you want the impact of that, right? So you want to upload the Word version that'll be converted to a text file, and then attach the PDF of your resume and a PDF of your cover letter. Next thing I see that is ATS repellent for sure is you do not customize for each application. My goal with my clients is to get their resume 95% plus of the way there for any job that they're going to apply for, probably more like 98%. As long as they're staying in that same kind of family of jobs, if you will, they're not going off in left field and going rogue on me, that resume is going to work. They need about 30 minutes of customization every time they send it out. And then about 30 minutes of customization for the cover letter, most of which is involved in the research that you need to do to answer the question of why you want that job and why you want to work in that company. So customization by looking at the keywords in the job description and seeing, are these keywords in my resume? And if not, where can I legitimately include them? The next thing I see with ATS repellent is columns, charts, and graphs that can't be read by the ATS. Now, couple thoughts here. I like columns, charts, and graphs, or some of those things, when appropriate. It's really great with sales folks, right? However, this is a caveat. They take up room. So I was just working with someone, gosh, I think it was last week, who's in sales, and he had some great sales figures. But we had the conversation about the fact that he had so much good content that I didn't feel that it was in his best interest to use up space with a graph or a chart about his sales. It's basically like a call out for his sales figures. That I can put that in the body of the text in the achievements, but not take up that room. Because here's the problem. If I put it in a chart or a graph, I have to also include that information in Word form in the document so that the ATS can read it. So I can't, it's not going to read anything that's in a chart or graph. That's just for the humans to see. And they're going to be, ooh, that's really cool. That's impressive. But is it worth what I have to take off the resume to make room for it? And in this instance, with this gentleman, I didn't feel that it was, and he agreed. So columns, graphs, and charts cannot be read by the ATS. You're going to have that same content. If you want the ATS to score it, you want it in the body of the resume as well. And then finally, stacking jobs. ATS can't make sense of, so if you have, I have a client right now I'm working with who's had like three jobs at Boeing. I can't go Boeing and put the inclusive dates that she's worked at Boeing, you know, with all three jobs, and then list the three jobs separately. What I have to do is I have to go Boeing, job title, the dates for that job title. Boeing, job title, the dates for that job title. Boeing, job title, the dates for that job title. Stacking is when I try to, you know, because a human is going to look at that and go, oh, these are all Boeing jobs. It's obvious. But the ATS can't do that. So I have to give the job the company name and the individual dates. It doesn't make sense of those inclusive dates up there that aren't attached to a job title. It confuses it. All right. You guys like it when I bottom line it for you. So I'm fixing to bottom line it for you. If you know you need a new resume, find the most qualified resume writer that you can afford and expect it to be about 1% of your anticipated annual salary for the resume alone. So in other words, if you're also needing a LinkedIn profile, coaching, any of that, that's above that. We're just talking about 1% for your expected income. And this is borne out in the How to Assess Resume Writers document that you can get if you even want a copy of that. If you really don't know whether your resume is any good, it's a safe bet that it isn't. And again, find a reputable resume writer like me who will be honest with you. I have told people, and we're going to talk about some of the reasons why I've said this, I've told people your problem is not your resume. I am not going to sell you a resume if that's not what you need. Or I'm not going to just sell you a resume if that's not all you need, because that's not serving you in the highest possible way. If you think your resume is fantastic and want someone to confirm that for you, please don't put it through one of those systems. That is going to cause you to doubt that your resume is as good as you thought it was. Ask me. Ask someone you know, as I talked about earlier, who's in recruiting or HR, or a hiring manager who does this day in and day out. You're not asking them to write your resume for you. You're asking them to take a look at it and see if it is serving you, if it is supporting your candidacy or not. Couple of final thoughts here. One of the things I frequently talk with prospective clients about is how high is the bar? And that I have that conversation with them because not everybody needs a world-class resume, which is what I create for my clients. So there are folks out there kind of in that mid-range who may be just a fine fit for you. A perfect example is someone who needs a resume for an internal promotion, but it's been kind of, you know, wink, wink, you're going to have the job. We just need a resume. You don't need to have a world-class resume for that situation. And there are other scenarios where I've had a conversation with a client about, you know, I have them tell me, where is the bar? Where do you, based on your goals and your experience and your, you know, anything else, timeline, whatever else is involved here, where do you think the bar is? And then we have a conversation about who can best serve them based on that bar. And then the final thing is, it may not be your resume or it may not be just your resume. I talked about this at the outset, but in my consultations, I'm going to ask you about how many applications have you put out? How many interviews have you had? How many job offers have you had? So that I can look at that conversion rate and tell you if I can see a problem there. I'm going to ask you about your confidence level with your job search strategy, your interviewing skills, your networking. I want to make sure that I'm looking at all the pieces so that I can accurately prescribe what you need. All right, I hope this has given you some food for thought and I think I've made my feeling about the quote unquote free resume evaluations pretty clear. Just buyer beware. I'll say that. I hope this has been helpful, and I will see you next week. Take care. If you enjoyed this podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you subscribed and left me a review. If you would like to discuss working with me to achieve your job search or career goals, my calendar link is in the show notes.